Welcome to another edition of Critical Thinking. I'm your host and producer for this series, Andrew Patner. Today, a special tribute to Sofia Gubaidulina, Tatar Russian composer who turned 80 in October and who is to be the subject of a very exciting concert this Wednesday. If you're listening to our initial broadcast, that is Wednesday, the 15th of February at the Harris Theater in Millennium Park, and it is a concert at 7:30 p.m. offered up by Contempo, the new music, contemporary music ensemble and presenting wing of the Department of Music of the University of Chicago. Tickets are $25, $5 for students with current ID. We'll give you more information about the technical side of attending the concert later, but let's talk about Sofia Gubaidulina. We opened with a lovely work of hers from 1978, Klänge des Waldes, Sounds of the Forest. It was played for us on a Koch recording by Alexa Still, flute, and Stephen Gosling, piano. You not only have a sense there, I think, of, oh, it could be Wagner's Forest Bird, it could be Respighi's Birds, it could be Burton Lane's How Are Things in Glaucomora Birds. There's a very gentle side to Gubaidulina. There also are more astringent sides to her work, mystical sides, experimental sides, folkloric, but all of it comes together in her own way. And we're going to sample a few pieces and talk a bit about her own perspective and the perspective of others on her work. A brief bit of biography. Sofia Askatovna Gubaidulina was born in Kristopol in the Tatar region, October 24th, 1931. She studied at the Kazan Conservatory, both piano and composition, was interested in composition from an early age, and then in the 50s went to Moscow, where she somehow has been able, and was able, I should say, to survive the varied musical, political, social climates that ruled post-Stalinist Russia. Of course, she was a student even in the Stalin period. She always was going, though, her own way, and she always was making it clear that the spiritual, sometimes couched in philosophical terminology, but even that was often banned by the Soviets, was a key and a core part of her being, as was her connection with nature. She encountered on a number of occasions Shostakovich as a potential mentor and teacher, and she had perhaps one of the most important exchanges ever between a teacher or potential teacher and a student, because Shostakovich famously said to her, "I want you to continue down your mistaken path." And of course, we can open that up in many different ways, but I think it's pretty clear what Shostakovich was saying to her was, do your own thing, as we were saying here in this hemisphere, be yourself, and don't worry, A, that your music doesn't sound like mine, and B, that your music doesn't sound like what they're asking for in the academy, the concert hall, or the wings of the Politburo here in the Soviet Union. This June 2011, the University of Chicago awarded an honorary doctorate to Sofia Gubaidulina. This is important for a number of reasons. The University of Chicago does not give honorary degrees to celebrities, football players, even presidents of the United States, as Bill Clinton learned when he gave not a commencement address, because the University of Chicago also does not have guest speakers at its convocations. They have only members of the faculty speaking there at graduation ceremonies. But Bill Clinton gave an additional talk outside of the actual graduation ceremony and was told he would not be receiving a degree. Sofia Gubaidulina, as far as the research of her nominator, composer and professor at the University of Chicago, Shulamit Ron, was able to determine, Sofia Gubaidulina was the first, not only the first composer, but the first creative artist to receive an honorary doctorate from Chicago. She received it along with scientists, physical scientists from Beijing, Chicago, and Princeton. In nominating her and preparing her laudatio, Shulamit Ron said the following of Sofia Gubaidulina. Gubaidulina is a woman of powerful ideas and discoveries who has explored old material and created new material with the combination of critical reflection and technical virtuosity necessary to all work of tremendous originality and import. Together with many intangibles, these qualities have enabled Gubaidulina to make one breakthrough after another, the most significant of which, Shulamit Ron observes, are her unmistakable voice, her embrace of both modernism's early structural and musical gains, and her own highly personal tonal language. The rigorous rhythmic grounding her compositions possess, combined with her unerring instinct for the dramaturgical that lend to the power of her music, and Gubaidulina's instinct for pitch and time, which have the laser-beamed surety and keen intuition of a Nobel physicist. So spoke Shulamit Ron when Gubaidulina made a rare visit to the U.S. and to Chicago to receive her honorary doctorate from the University of Chicago. A private concert was held. We recorded that concert, and I hope at some point we'll be able to bring it to you. And Gubaidulina was to be coming back to Chicago this month for this Contempo concert. A work was commissioned from her by the university and the Serge Koussevitzky Music Foundation, a work for violin, piano, percussion, and Koussevitzky, double bass, A Pilgrimage of Four. The work has been delayed by health issues Miss Gubaidulina has had, but we are promised that when and if the work is done, Contempo will also bring it to us. Gubaidulina has lived in Germany since the fall of the Iron Curtain, the collapse of the Soviet Union. She's made that her adopted home, and we'll hear music written from then as well. But let's now hear a piece that's going to figure as the centerpiece of the three works that Contempo will play this Wednesday. In Croce, which you probably know in Latin means on the cross, but it also means crosswise, going in crossing directions. So there's a musical meaning and a Christological meaning here. It's going to be played at the concert by Brandon Vamos, cellist of the Pacifica Quartet, and Stas Wenglewski on the bayan. The bayan is a Russian-style push-button accordion. We're going to hear on this recording Peter Vispelvay, the Dutch cellist, with An Raskin on the bayan. This is a work from 1979, and it lasts about 16 minutes. In Croce of Sofia Gubaidulina.
Thank you.
In Croce, Peter Vispelvay, cellist Ann Raskin, on the push-button Russian accordion known as the Bayan. More on that in a little bit. I'm Andrew Patner. You're listening to Critical Thinking. We're talking about the music of Sofia Gubaidulina and the concert that will be coming up Wednesday, February 15, 2012, at the Harris Theater. Artists from Eighth Blackbird and Pacifica Quartet, as well as other guests who make up Contempo at the University of Chicago, will be sharing music with you. The program will open with a work, The Garden of Joy and Sorrow, from 1980, with guest harp Allison Attar. Tim Monroe of Eighth Blackbird, which just won a Grammy Award for music of Steve Mackey and Rindy Eckart, a collaboration that they won for Best Small Ensemble, and Pacifica Quartet violist Masumi Per Rostad. And they've also won awards, too, including Grammys. That's the first piece on the program, drawing on the story of Sayat Nova and a German poet, Tanzer, Francisco Tanzer. We're going to hear from a group that has championed Gubaidulina for some time. Gidon Kremer, probably one of her first great advocates, Roger Svensky among orchestral players, Rostropovich among cellists and conductors, our Didi Quartet, Simon Rattle, and the Kronos. Kronos Quartet has played at least, or commissioned and performed at least two of her works. This is the quartet number 4 from 1993, using three levels, Ms. Gubaidulina says, the real, the concrete, the live playing of music. The second, the non-real, two tracks of pre-recorded music played a quarter tone apart, like a shadow of the real. And the third, darkness and light, a visual experience. This piece has a visual side involving darkness and involving, you'll hear, the play of rubber balls played with also later by the members of the quartet. Quartet number 4 of Gubaidulina, just under 12 minutes, Kronos Quartet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Quartet number 4, Gubadulina, Kronos Quartet, from a 1993 composition and recorded right then and there by Kronos, released on Nonesuch. The third and final work on Wednesday's concert, the Contempo tribute to Gubadulina's 80th birthday in last October, we'll find Tony Arnold, wonderful soprano, and Ricardo Rivera, bass player, joining 8th Blackbird and Pacifica Quartet in a monumental work, the cantata, just under an hour, Perception. And here Gubadulina works with her fascination with mysticism and mathematics. Remember the Fibonacci series? You start with 0 and 1, and then you add up each pair of numbers as they go along. So it's 0, 1, add those, 1, add those, 2, add those, 3, add 3 and 2, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, 144, and on it goes. These are things that she has used in the creating of the music, at the same time, pure intuition, as you heard when she's thinking about trees, birds, and nature. But of course, mathematics is at its base something that arises from nature. So that will be the work that will round out in Croce, the Garden of Joy and Sorrow, finally Perception, on the concert on Wednesday. We're going to hear from a brand new release on the Naxos label with a brand new work. So we'll have some sense maybe of what Ms. Gubadulina has been working on. But one more quote, because she doesn't see sequences in that way in her work. "To my mind, the ideal relationship to tradition and to new compositional techniques is the one in which the artist has mastered both the old and the new, though in a way which makes it seem that he is taking note of neither the one nor the other. There are composers who construct their works very consciously. I'm one of those who cultivate them. And for this reason, everything I have assimilated forms, as it were, the roots of a tree, and the work its branches and leaves. One can indeed describe them as being new, but they are leaves nonetheless, and seen in this way, they are always traditional and old. Shostakovich and Webern have had the greatest influence on my work. Although my music bears no apparent traces of it, these two composers taught me the most important lesson of all, to be myself." We're going to hear, unfortunately, only the first third or so of this new work. We're going to have to fade down on it. It is not in movements, and we don't like to do that, but the full work is over half an hour. Fachwerk, timber framing. When you see structures, homes, and so on, where you actually see the wood crossing that is supporting the house and giving it shape. This is a work for Bayan, the double keyboarded, push-buttoned Russian accordion that has both melodic and chordal keys on it, percussion, and string orchestra. And it's dedicated to Ger Draugsvall, who is the Bayan virtuoso here. We also hear percussionist, this is an all-Norwegian affair, Anders Logvin, and the strings of the Trondheim Symphony Orchestra under the direction of cellist and conductor Øyvind Gimse. Ger Draugsvoll, Anders Logwin, Öfint Gimse, and the strings of the Trondheim Symphony Orchestra in the first third of Fachwerk, Timber Framing for Bayan Percussion and String Orchestra by Sophia Gubaidulina, a mini portrait here of this greatest of living Russian composers, and we wish her continued recovery and look forward to the world premiere that has been commissioned from her by Contempo at the University of Chicago. The concert this Wednesday with 8th Blackbird, Pacifica Quartet, and guests, Harris Theater for Music and Dance, 7:30 p.m., $25, $5 for students with valid ID. You can take a look on the web under Contempo, or the Harris Theater website. We'll also throw something up on the web with a link as we can. We'd like to thank Shulamit Ron, the artistic director of Contempo, and Rana Hofberg of Audience Logic for helping us to make this program happen. I'd like to thank Matt DeStefano for putting the program together with me and making it sound great. Our funders, Alphawood Foundation and Richard and Susan Kiphart, as well as other friends of this program. Drop us a line. Let us know what you thought of this or any of our other programs. Hit the Chime In button, the Chime In feature at WFMT.com, or old-fashioned email, rentap, Patner spelled backwards, R-E-N-T-A-P, at AOL.com. And you can hear this or any of our programs anytime at WFMT.com/critical thinking, where you can experience the always free Critical Thinking podcast. I'm Andrew Patner. We'll see you next week.